Good afternoon. My name is Joshua Mays. I am a master's student at NCANT and also work as a regional agronomist for NCDA, North Carolina's Department of Agriculture. I want to talk to you today about the effects of fall nitrogen rates on the growth and yield of day-neutral strawberry Albion in low tunnels. My research is located in the Sandhills region of North Carolina, which is in Moore County, and we are on a Kander sand soil type. I feel that's important to point out when we're talking about fertility research, to talk about what kind of soil type you're on. So this is a highly leachable soil, and it's consistent across the field in treatment, so it's a good area to do fertility research because it is very consistent. Our objective was to evaluate the fall nitrogen fertigation rates on fall and spring strawberry yields and quality. So this is a dual season harvest system. So we are harvesting these same plants in the fall, overwintering them, and then harvesting them again in the spring. A little bit of justification for this research. We are the fourth ranking strawberry producer in the U.S. with over 2,000 acres of production. Just a quick little stat. 1 acre of berries per 4,500 citizens, 15 to 16,000 plants an acre. That's 3 pounds of berries per person. So wanted to point this out because that's without any outside influence from other states, grocery stores, other countries. So there's a lot of competition for your business. Customer base demands year-round production. We can put strawberries in a basket and bring them home almost any time of the year, so it's important for us to meet that demand. And Southeast region research does support a dual season harvest system. So how is dual season harvest possible? If you break strawberries down by classification, it's June bearing, ever bearing, and day neutrals. June bearing makes up the bulk of our production system in North Carolina. So Chandler's, Camarosa's, Sweet Charlie's, those type cultivars, we basically have a 5 to 8 week harvest period in April and May. But what I want to focus on here is day neutrals, which are an ever-bearing hybrid, which is what's going to allow us to use that dual season harvest, because anytime we stay within 40 and 85 degrees, we can produce fruit. The cultivar that we chose for our research was Albion. It is out of the University of California. It is a day-neutral cultivar, and it has resistance to a lot of pathogens and disease problems that we have in North Carolina. We chose to put our research under low tunnels for several significant reasons, but primarily as a fruit quality tool. We can keep the fruit dry. We get lower disease resistance or more disease resistance from this just by keeping fruit dry, and also we protect our research, and when every plant matters, then it's good to be able to protect it. We did have some management. It's pretty simple. Raise the sides if it's higher than 70 degrees because we want to stay under that 85 degree threshold. Lower it if it is lower than that temperature during any rain event. This is just a quick slide to talk about the microclimate under tunnels. If you look at this top set of lines, the distance between the green line and the blue line is the microclimate that's being made by that low tunnel. So that green line, we're picking up about 10 degrees during daytime temperatures. If you look at the bottom set of lines, those lines get closer together, which means you quickly go to ambient temperature. This is not like a greenhouse setup. So our experimental design was randomized, 4 treatments, 3 replications, and SASPROC GLM for data management. We collected bloom data, fall runner production, and quickly I'll talk about fall runners. If you look at this picture, a runner is basically how a strawberry plant reproduces itself. We had to remove those in the fall because you have to establish a good fall plant to maximize yield in the fall, and you've got a short window to do so. So you cannot waste growing power, nutrients, water, and sunshine on runners. So you have to take them off. We also collected total yield, marketable yield, fruit size, quality, biomass, and tissue samples, looking at total plant, nutrient, and also petiole nitrate. These were our treatments. What you see here in pre-plant and spring fertigation, this is a grower standard. So in North Carolina, our fertility system is based on the June-bearing cultivar Chandler. So this is a very different type of plant that we're dealing with. But in that system, 120 pounds of total nitrogen per acre is what our system is based off of. 60 pounds of that coming from pre-plant, the rest of that coming through a fertigation system in the spring, basically at 7 pounds of nitrogen per acre per week. And I do apologize that this is not in kilograms per hectare. But our treatments were the control, which is zero pounds through the fertigation, only using preplant, and then 3.5, 7, and 10 pounds per week per acre. So in the fall, we planted on 9-5, September 5th of 17, with a 12 by 12 double row spacing. We harvested from 10-27 to 12-15. We stopped at 12-15 just due to weather conditions. We couldn't harvest anymore, just too cold. But our preplant fertilizer was a 10-5-25, 60 pounds of nitrogen per acre, half of which was a nitrate nitrogen source, which is available to the plant fairly immediately. The other half was an ammonium source coming on the back end to help me establish that plant before we started fertigation. Fertigation was a 408 with 2% calcium, half calcium nitrate, half potassium sulfate, and we applied treatments for 8 weeks, beginning at 50% bloom. We overwintered the plants. Again, we stopped harvest once we got too cold to harvest. We allowed the plants to enter dormancy, and all this dead plant material that you see here was removed in February, cleaned plants up once we started getting new growth for the spring. Moving into the spring, we harvested weekly from 4-10 through 6-3, the same fertigation that we used in the fall, but no treatments here. We used a grower standard, again, of that 7 pounds of nitrogen per acre per week, started at 50% bloom, and went for 10 weeks, so basically through the harvest season. We did supplement with Epsom salt and solubor based on soil tests or based on plant tissue analysis that told us we needed to pick up some sulfur and boron. So going into our results, you look here. I don't know why that slide is off, but days after planting to 50% bloom, we had no statistical difference across treatments. Same was true for the number of fall runners removed. But if you see, the number of fall runners removed did increase as nitrogen increased, but again, not a statistical difference. Looking at total yield, this was, in my opinion, a very good total yield. We're accustomed to a pound to 1.2 pounds per plant as an industry standard, as you see in our top nitrogen treatment, and even in the control, we were well above that. We do have a statistical difference between the control and the top nitrogen treatment, both in the fall and in total yields, but we did not see that reflected in the spring. So the fall yield is really what pushed this whole thing. And so that fall nitrogen, that plant is absolutely responding to it. Generally, yield increased as nitrogen rate increased, but not statistically so in the spring. Marketable yields were very close to what our total yields were, which we're also very happy to see. And we do have a statistical difference, again, between the control and our top nitrogen treatment in the fall and in total yields. Fruit size and quality, there was no statistical difference ultimately between all of our treatments. There were some isolated differences, if you see here on the 430, where you see bricks got up between 9 and above. That is a statistical difference, but it was an isolated event and wasn't the case across the whole year. The big thing to notice here is as nitrogen increased, we did not have a decrease in fruit quality. So if the yield is increased by that nitrogen increase, you're not going to suffer on the fruit quality end of things. Looking quickly at nitrogen tissue analysis, I want to say again, in this efficiency range that you see over on the left is reflected from the Chandler cultivar, which is a June-bearing system, which is very different than the cultivar that we're working with here. So we're comparing this cultivar to a June-bearing system, which is what our recommendations in North Carolina are set up on. Do you see, as we started getting into where you see that first dip, that's where we first started getting into harvest. And we drop out of this efficiency range on almost every treatment. And then as I started putting fertilizer back in and we were coming out of dormancy, we get back into this efficiency range. But in the spring, during heavy yields between 412 and 512, we quickly drop below. This is telling me that we need to evaluate our sufficiency ranges for the spring on this cultivar. Looking at phosphorus, We stayed well above the sufficiency range for the bulk of the year, and as we get into heavy yielding and heavy growth into the spring, we drop right into the middle of the sufficiency range, very little deviation between the treatments. And we have high phosphorus indexes in our soil, so it's not surprising to see that high. Potassium, I was very pleased to see this. Potassium is incredibly important for fruit quality and in strawberry production. And we see quite a bit, some deviation early on where I'm making fall fertility treatments, but we stay within the sufficiency range the entire year, I am pleased to see. This is a pretty busy slide, but I think that this is a very interesting slide. If you look in the bottom left, that is our petiole nitrate recommendations at NCDA. We are using a continuous flow method, not an electrode method, but our sufficiency ranges change depending upon what week of bloom you are in. The shaded area that I've got up here is reflecting weeks 2 through week 11, so pretty much the entire harvest season, and it splits fall and spring. And if you see in the fall and the spring, as my nitrogen rates increased in treatments, the amount of petiole nitrate in the plant decreased. And also, this big dip that you see follows a dip in a yield curve that we saw in the fall. We had a heavy flush, then a small period, and then we went back picking again. But as soon as we get into the spring, where my nitrogen rates were kept consistent, you see this big drop. And where you start to see that drop around April 1st and on into the middle of May, that's when we're picking the heaviest on this variety. So, again, I just think that we're not supplying enough nitrogen to this variety in the spring. So I would love to see varied nitrogen rates in the spring in addition to the research that I'm doing now. So my conclusions, weekly fall fertigation of nitrogen significantly increased fall and total strawberry yield when compared to the pre-plant only. The same was true when we look at marketable as it was in total yields. Fall nitrogen rates did not affect fruit size or fruit quality. Again, this is an important point to me because if more nitrogen on this variety means more fruit, we have issues with soft fruit and fruit quality issues with this in general in other cultivars, and it doesn't seem to be the case here based on our first year. Soil type must be considered when evaluating nitrogen rates, but first-year research shows that increased fall nitrogen through fertigation is beneficial. I say this because don't get caught up on that 7 pounds and that 10 pounds. What's important to notice here is that pushing this plant in the fall with nitrogen will be reflected into the spring. You can exhaust it, and it will maximize fall yield. So depending on your soil type, those rates may change, and we want to develop nitrogen sufficiency ranges for this cultivar, but pushing it in the fall will be beneficial. Again, that's similar to what I'm talking about here. Nitrate nitrogen decreased in the plant as yield and nitrogen rate increased, but spring nitrogen application rate should be evaluated for Albion in future research because it seems like our thresholds based on a June-bearing cultivar are just not correct. Phosphorus and potassium stayed within or above the sufficiency range throughout the season. So perhaps our current sufficiency range is based on Chandler and that June-bearing system are correct. Further research in North Carolina would be great if we could put this on multiple locations in multiple years. Our NC State, NCANT, and NCDA are currently talking about and working on that. And ultimately, we would like to develop tissue sufficiency ranges and nitrogen recommendations based on petiole nitrate for this variety and for other day-neutral cultivars as this system grows in popularity throughout the U.S. I would like to show my appreciation to Dr. Sanjung Gu, who is here. He is my major professor, and Dr. Kristen Hicks, who is the lead agronomist for the plant analysis lab at NCDA, and the research station staff at the NC State Research Station where my project is housed. And this is my contact information if you have any interest in talking to me or my research findings in the future. Any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for your presentation. Very good. My question is in regards to the fertigation you're recommending at the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
which you're calling the spring.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so
That is what I'm saying. And again, that's based on this site. This is a very sandy land site. As we move into the spring, warmer temperatures, we're irrigating more, we're leaching some of that nitrogen out. We understand that. The point being, that is a grower standard for North Carolina, which is, and 7 pounds of nitrogen per acre per week is quite a bit of nitrogen. So, but we just saw a steep fall, and it makes me question whether it's enough that we were so far below the sufficiency ranges, but yet we were still getting good yields. I think we can maximize yield by increasing that nitrogen rate. But again, that's just an opinion at this point.
Sure,
we can talk after. Thank you.
Thank you.